Welcome back to another episode of the Return of the Roar podcast. My name is Brendan Nunez, and we're doing things a little bit differently today. We took the roundtable that myself, Frankie Cardicelli, joined Styles and Watkins on Wednesday, yesterday. That would be December 6th. So this episode is just going to be our roundtable from again, our roundtable on Styles and Watkins. You can catch their show, those being Alan Styles and Chris Watkins, two great guys that I think do a good job of covering the team, and obviously other different topics as well, but definitely focused around the Sacramento Kings whenever there's any sort of news there, 10 to 2, Monday to Friday. And we're usually hopping on around 10:30 or 11 for an hour, so if you ever want to catch one of these live in the future, be sure to check that out. But throughout the course of this episode, we start with talking about the Stockton Kings. I spent some time in Stockton recently, and Chris tagged along as well and got to talk to Lindsey Harding. We also got some Jordan Ford, Jalen Slauson, Keon Ellis in there, a little bit of Coach Mike Brown talking about Stockton, and got to just kind of discuss some of the takeaways from the early start of their season, and of course move on to the in-season tournament game against the New Orleans Pelicans, the disappointment there of getting knocked, but it still counts towards the regular season, so of course we take a look at where Sacramento's sitting currently when it comes to that regular season race, some of the strengths and weaknesses, if there's differences compared to last year, and we take a handful of callers throughout the course of this as well and answer some questions that ends up leading to a little bit of some trade conversations, which can always be fun and sometimes a little tiring, you know, but they're inevitable. And so that's kind of what we're going to go with today. Again, a little bit of a different episode, but hope you guys enjoy this conversation with myself, Brendan Nunez, Frankie Cardicelli, Alan Styles, and Chris Watkins from our roundtable.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. for a little Kings Roundtable here for the next hour with Frankie Cardicelli wearing his Yankee gear. Maybe we'll get into that. And Brendan Nunez, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. Fellas, how's it going?
Nervous.
Why?
I'm on Juan Soto watch right now.
You've been talking about it since we walked in the building.
You know, Juan Soto in that Little League ballpark.
Are we really gonna do this
now? No. I will say this. A lot of people get on the Yankees for that ballpark and how tiny it is, like Pony League, not Little League, Pony League. When really the Red Sox, their right field is just as bad, yeah. Or I think might be technically worse. And nobody gives the Red Sox any grief. But the Yankees, they're basically the same size.
How about their right field corner, too? The pesky pole is about 298 from home plate. Just saying. So the whole short porch or Little League ballpark.
Right, they both have very short right fields, but nobody talks about the Red Sox, only the Yankees.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. It's the same way. I mean, for the away team, it's the bat, too. Like, it's
That's the same thing.
So
that's like Colorado.
I'm just saying I don't want to spend too much time or dwell on it because I've been dwelling on it since last night, and I'm sure my girlfriend is sick of me talking about they could trade. But I'm definitely on Juan Soto watch today.
You know what's going to happen. The Yankees are going to get Juan Soto, and just like the rest of your lineup, he's going to forget how to hit a curveball.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting him to hit 250. He's like been a great walk guy. His walks are going to finally level out. He's going to strike out more than he walks next year. The Yankee curse. But, you know, people out there rolling their eyes, Yankee curse. I get it. The Yankees are privileged. I get it.
Right. He never had facial hair, so I don't think there's any issues there.
Nope. He will fit in beautifully.
I'm so done with that.
That's so weird.
I can't believe in 2023 that's okay.
It's so weird.
Honestly, that's the one thing I grew up a Yankee guy. Mm-hmm. I never understood that at all. Like let people be themselves. Like it's kind of crazy. You're control them like they're children.
Says with a shaved face.
Well, I always exactly. You look like you're about to try out right now.
I'm the only guy here that a beard. I just realized, but I can't grow a strong beard. All right, I've tried.
What I think it is a little bit of it. Is that if you did grow up and now you're on the Yankees, honestly, I think a lot of players want to do it. It sounds crazy.
Want to shave
and be a part of the culture. Lore. Yeah, like, maybe they don't want to be that first person to go against it. Because if Aaron Judge, I think he can get a little scruff action going, but if Aaron Judge wanted to go long hair, don't care, like Lil Wayne or back in the day, they're not telling him anything.
Well, that was.
I think it's part of it.
There was the edits last year when Judge was a free agent. People were like, oh my God, I saw Aaron Judge at the airport and he had a fake beard that was clearly like someone did it in like Photoshop. Clearly was not. I don't think he can grow a beard either. So like, you can tell when guys have like the shadow coming in.
That's
like,
right.
The strong shadow. But no, I think that it's a dumb rule. And there have been guys that have come out and said like, no, like I'm not going to shave my hair or cut my hair. Whatever. I think Marcus Stroman's a guy, too, who's just like, I'm never going to play like for that clown franchise.
We sat in trainings yesterday that pretty much told us that is you cannot force your employees to do that.
That's
so
right.
I don't know what is going on here.
Steinbrenner family might want to think about it.
Yeah. They clearly are. Are they doing it every 2 years? Are they doing the training?
It's California. Yeah.
No, it does not seem like it. All right, guys. So, Brendan, you wrote a piece on the Stockton Kings. What do you see from them? And they made a move yesterday. Why don't you get into what you're seeing from the Stockton Kings and how quickly we may see some of those guys in Sacramento?
Yeah, they just got traded for Stanley Johnson yesterday, which, you know, I heard some people kind of being like, oh, maybe this is a Sacramento thing. I would highly doubt it. Mm-hmm. But you never know. I think that the point of Stockton is that there's guys down there that can get an opportunity. Like you look at Keon Ellis and what he did last year. He came in. He didn't really play much point guard at all at Alabama. They developed him as a point guard last year. And he's coming in. And he's a backup point guard right now. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do the same thing for Colby Jones. He said at Summer League he didn't play point guard that much at Xavier. Now they're trying to just slowly work him into that. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys. We've seen Deontay Burton get a 10-day last year. He was on the Summer League team, even at training camp. Same with Chance Comanche. Jeremy Lamb is down there. Say Jeremy Lamb gets in a rhythm, and all of a sudden you have an open roster spot, and he seems kind of intriguing. You know, there still is that process of getting into the rhythm. Not saying he's looked amazing. He's looked fine. But, no, I think Stockton has a good roster, and they're very committed to clearly, like, they just want to win at all levels. And that's, you know, you can see it in, like, obviously they're spending a little bit relative to G League on this roster. They have a lot of guys with NBA experience.
Real quick, I wanted to go deeper into the Colby Jones and the Keon Ellis. What is it with the Kings and this whole point guard situation? Is it a NBA basketball-wide thing where classic point guards just aren't coming out the way they used to? Or are the Kings, their mindset, you know how different teams will draft differently. Their mindset is we're going to get a guard that can do whatever, and we feel like we can turn them into a point guard.
I do think there's an aspect of it being like a general NBA thing, but I don't think every team has the personnel to really do it. It's really just a Domantas Sabonis, right? Like you're getting the ball down the floor, getting into his hands, and then running your free flowing offense. All you have to really do is be able to bring the ball up the floor. Right. And Keon can do that. I still think that weirdly is like something Kobe's working on. We see him get it poked away a little bit. It's just going to be a little bit of a process. But it just has to do with Domas because De'Aaron comes off the floor early. That backup point guard's playing a lot with Sabonis. And then by the time that Domas comes out, De'Aaron is coming back in. Mm-hmm. So the backup point guard is almost always playing with Sabonis.
What have you thought, I mean, about just Colby Jones's development too for both of you guys? Because we saw him in the rotation, like to pretty much start the season pretty early, and it seems like you know, after that Houston back to back where they lost and Colby did kind of get stripped a couple times as that backup point guard, it just felt like I don't think we've really seen much of him at all since then. And of course, you know, he's a second round pick. He's a young guy in his career. But just where do you kind of see or even just hope his development goes throughout this year?
I think at the time, Mike Brown was kind of trying some new things out because at that moment, Kevin Herter was really struggling going through it. I think Malik Monk hadn't really turned it on to the point, definitely not to where he is right now, playing the best basketball of the season, obviously. But just kind of searching for things. And obviously, he's young. He's a rookie. An older rookie. I know that Monty McNair has a knack of bringing in guys that are in their, you know, early 20s already. I think he's 21 already or 22. But I think it's just a matter of they don't really have a need for him right now. I think that when you have Kevin Herter playing well, Malik Monk playing well, Keon Ellis is getting his opportunity, and I think that he's kind of earned that shot right now. Davion Mitchell's getting a lot of DNPCDs. Colby Jones is right now, they're opting to go to Stockton, give him the repetition he needs. And he's playing well. The numbers are really good. And I think some people take those with a grain of salt, the G League numbers. But I think with Colby Jones, it's not just G League. It's been Summer League. Preseason, he had a really good showing there. And even in the NBA, like, the numbers aren't horrible. They're very small sample size. But he hasn't looked lost out there. He looks like he knows what to do out there, and I think that he's a part of the future. It's just, what does that future look like? There's some people that might not be here over the next couple of years, as we know. A lot of talk about what the roster looks like, and it gets louder after losses, obviously, the talk about Harrison Barnes fit, Davion Mitchell, obviously, the bench. But I think one thing that's true is Colby Jones has looked good wherever the Kings have put him. Mm-hmm. But right now it's a matter of playing time, and you don't want guys like him who are young and inexperienced to kind of just sit on the bench and waste away while – not waste away, but just kind of waste opportunities where right. they could be spending in Stockton.
Yeah, and with Colby Jones, again, the same way we have that conversation about him and the different guards, and we talk about the point guards or lack thereof, what seems to be the path or, I guess, the plan? You look at all the guards we just talked about with Davion and Keon and Colby. Jordan Ford, who I believe had a pretty darn good game when you guys went this past weekend. What do you think is the – if Jordan Ford, they have the end of the season conversations, or if they were to have a – a mid-season or early mid-season conversation with Jordan Ford, and Jordan Ford walked into your office and he said, hey, what's the plan for me? Based on what you've seen, what do you think the plan for him is?
I mean, I think it's what it is for a lot of guys that are towards the end of the rotation is kind of just wait, and at some point you're going to get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means a year like we saw for Keon last year, where that's going to mean like two games throughout the course of the year, but really prove it in G League. And then we'll slowly work you up or prove it in practice. Now that he got promoted to a two-way, he's another good example of why Stockton's important. And then maybe, you know, the same way that we saw like Davion Mitchell disappoint, you never know what's going to happen and Coach Brown wants to go in a different direction. And I think mm-hmm. that's the path, right? Because Jordan has his things he does well. He's a great three-point shooter. He's a really good finisher. He looks a lot more composed, and he's trying to be passable on the defensive end. He's 6'1". That's going to be a tough thing, but he's really trying to embrace that. But you know, it's going to take time, and honestly, it probably would take some other guys disappointing a little bit that coach wants to look in another direction.
Yeah, but if you stay ready, you don't got to get ready, and it seems like he is starting to do that. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, more of King's Roundtable. We were in the G League, now we head to the big leagues, and maybe, just maybe, we will bust out the trade machine with our guys, the Sactown Sports Kings Insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez. And it's a roundtable. We can still take your calls. We can still take your texts. Be a part of the conversation if you have a question for the guys. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Kings Roundtable went G League in the first segment. Who knows where we'll go next with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez, our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. And I was messing with the guys, showing them some trade generators. And I'm not even going to talk about it on there, but just know.
You can't mention
it,
that one.
If it gets,
got one in the chamber.
If the Kings keep messing around, that is my ace up my sleeve. That is when you know, in a movie or something, there's the red button, there's glass, press in case of emergency. If the Kings keep messing around, I will break the glass and I will press the button.
I don't think it's as easy as breaking the glass. There's like a chain going on.
No,
there.
I'm
there's high level security.
No, I'll get a jackhammer and I'm going to take care of it.
That
all
button,
right?
That button's not going to work anyway.
Well, it's going to get it's going to work somewhere. Trust me. Trust me on that one.
That's hilarious.
All right, guys. So I know we're a couple days removed here, but did want to get your thoughts on what the heck happened in Sacramento or in Golden 1 against New Orleans, and the idea of a team just being a quote-unquote bad matchup. Because I it's not that I disagree with it, but I don't really know what to do with that. It's feeling a little bit cop-outy to me. And if it's not a cop-out, what do the Kings do?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, in you know, particular, I'm looking at the three-point shooting more than... I mean, I think Brandon Ingram scoring 30, that's kind of been a theme. Like, mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram has been a Kings killer. But yeah. Zion Williamson, the Kings did a good job of taking him out of the game. 10 points. That, to me, was in their favor. That kind of could have turned things in their way. But when you start off 7-11 from three in the first quarter, it looked like the Kings were on their way to a win. I think we all kind of felt good when the Kings went off that big run. I think they led by double digits in the first quarter. Yeah. Obviously, New Orleans makes a run. And then the final three quarters, Kings go 7 of 30, 23%. We've seen that in Kings' losses this year a little bit, how when they struggle from three, they don't really try to switch things up much. They try to shoot through it. And sometimes they do, and it ends up working out well. But the shots just did not fall. And De'Aaron Fox obviously was an uncharacteristic game for him. I think six turnovers. He 2 of 12 to start from the field. I think that second quarter really just kind of shot them in the foot. And in the end, that really was a difference. But I think that the matchup situations and the struggles we saw wasn't really as prevalent as it was the first two games in New Orleans. Still is a problem for the Kings, obviously. They really do struggle with teams that have length, like Minnesota, New Orleans, and down the line. But I think that really, to me, the three-point shooting was really just brutal. They missed a lot of good looks down the stretch.
Yeah, and you know sometimes that's going to happen. I do think it exposes a little bit of sort of the roster flaw, quote-unquote, only when we're trying to talk about eventual championship contention. Like, this is a very good team. I'm just picking flaws of, if you're trying to take this next step, where does it need to happen? It's like, you know what you're getting from Sabonis. At this point, you know what you're getting from Malik, and you know what you're getting from De'Aaron. To Frankie's point, I thought it was an uncharacteristic game for De'Aaron, and it's funny that you look down, he's got 30 and 6, or 30 and 4 and 5. It's those six turnovers, though.
Adding Lestats.
Accused by Adam.
I don't know.
No, not me. I would never accuse De'Aaron of that. The game was still in reach.
Yeah, yeah.
But he got
digits in that fourth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's those six turnovers. He only had four in his season high leading up to that. He was averaging a career low 2 coming into that game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kings are leading 4.5 minute mark, 32-17 of that first quarter. De'Aaron, not long after checking back in, kind of lined up with when New Orleans went with that Ingram and then full bench lineup. Alvarado got 2 steals on him. He had 2 other turnovers. They're all live ball turnovers, leads to 6 points. Again, like, uncharacteristic for De'Aaron, but I feel like the same way when I'm critical of a guy and he does something good, I need to mention it. It goes vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. De'Aaron's been amazing. This was an area where maybe he let it slip away a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want to kind of touch on something that Alan said there. Like, it feels like there might just be a roster flaw on this team, which is interesting because the team is good. Like, the Kings are 11-8 right now. They're 6th seed. They've got really quality wins against, you know, Dallas, OKC, Denver, Minnesota. They're a good team. But I think it's clear to everyone who's watched this team this year that they do, like, just have a hole in that 6'8", 6'9", long, rangy wing. And there's teams, especially at the top of the Western Conference, where you look at Minnesota, they've got, I almost said Jared Vanderbilt, McDaniels, who didn't, the Kings didn't see in their matchup against Minnesota. OKC is a team that has crazy length. Denver is a team that has, you know, Michael Porter Jr., and they're built a little bit more like the Kings. But the Lakers, I saw Jared Vanderbilt was playing yesterday. They obviously have LeBron. Point is, there's tons of teams in the Western Conference, I'm just talking, that have guys that you feel like you would need somebody who fits that profile in order to defend. We've seen the Kings struggle guarding LeBron. We've seen them struggle guarding Brandon Ingram, Zion. Does it not feel like the Kings have to make a move at some point this year if they want to be serious about, kind of like Brendan said, about actual contention?
I mean, I think that I have to say the short answer, yes. I think that if they want to put themselves in a position to contend, yeah. I mean, I think that the personnel you have, just you're maximizing, I think, everyone that you have that can plug that hole. I mean, Mike will throw in Kessler Edwards, who does an admirable job on, you know, I think most of the times we see him, which we might see him Friday in Phoenix, Mike Brown will go to Kessler Edwards against Devin Booker a lot. He went to went to Kessler against Anthony Edwards. But if that's your guy you have to throw out there in a situation against a, you know, top scorer in the league, that's kind of a problem, in my opinion. And Harrison Barnes, I think, is getting a lot of flack right now on social media. And he's getting a lot of, I mean, and again, on a night where he was one of the primary defenders in Zion Williamson and he scored 10 points, his shortcomings on offense are coming into focus when that's not really the role Harrison Barnes is in, but I'm sure we'll talk about him later. But yeah, they need a guy that is a dynamic defender who can go and guard the threes and fours around the league, and a guy that you can kind of throw out there that cannot be a negative on the offensive end as well, which is what Kessler Edwards has been so far in his brief Kings career. So, yeah, I think that as the year goes on, if the Kings are still kind of hovering around that 5-9-10 situation because it's a very tight Western Conference, maybe this is the time to make that move, because we talked about it before, and I think a lot of people that talk about the Kings everywhere, that this team probably isn't the final product we're going to see if this Kings team is going to reach that peak. They really do need that one more big piece. It's just, we talked about it last week too, I think you're going to have to break it up. You're going to have to break up this group in order to get that piece, and it's going to sting a little bit.
Yeah, I think that is becoming more and more apparent as we get ready to see what the Kings are going to do against the Suns team who, you know, there was Kevin Durant saying, hey, it's not on the loose ball call. There was a turnover, and Devin Booker deletes his IG post when he initially was complaining about it, which is just funny in itself. And you have a team who, I mean, you look at a guy, and I know none of us liked him at Duke, but I don't want to be that guy because I make fun of those guys.
He's good, though.
But I did say, don't sleep on Grayson Allen going to the Suns. I know a lot of us just don't like the guy from when he was tripping and doing things like that. 21 points last night. He's getting legitimate minutes on this Suns team, which maybe in part is because of Bradley Beal being hurt. And we can talk about what type of deal the Suns actually did because Bradley Beal was hurt a lot in Washington anyway. It just feels like all of these teams have a counterpunch when something goes wrong and the Kings don't. And they still lost the game. The Suns did, but you know, if Grayson Allen is the Kings' Malik Monk, okay, that's cool. But you still have that premium at the top. You have premium scoring with Durant and Devin Booker, and even Nurkic, who I remember Nurkic being more offensively abled right before he got to the Suns. He's just not really needed in that capacity. I just look around the different rosters and different starting lineups in the West. And the person wearing the most purplish shades out there cannot see this team and think this is going to get it done. Not if championship is now the goal. Right? You made it to the playoffs. Let's see what we can do. This roster is just not good enough.
I think there's a difference between like it's obviously the goal, but I don't think that it needs to be so. Like, it has to happen this year.
No, it doesn't.
Right,
it doesn't.
Well, I get you're not, like, saying that, but, like, if they stay the same place as last year, okay, so I agree they need to make a move. Mm-hmm. The 2-3-4, somewhere in there needs to be upgraded. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, Keegan, I heard Mark Spears talking about this with, I think, Drive Guys yesterday. Keegan's been pretty disappointing this year. Like, defensively, progress, mm-hmm. rebounding progress, and passing progress. Offensively, he's not getting it done mm-hmm. When there was so much hype around his potential development there. And you just don't know what you're going to be getting there from that 2-3-4 on a nightly basis. And defensively, you could use some improvements. But I think that you're probably trying to look for a third star, say like a three-headed snake you're trying to get here with De'Aaron Domas and X player. And it's going to take a lot of assets to do it. And I think you have to be patient and make sure it's the right guy and say that doesn't come up this year. Then I don't think you just do it or go make some smaller move that uses some assets and makes that bigger trade more difficult down the line. Like in my mind, I'm big fish hunting and I need to save my bait, even if that means for next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point too, just because of the fact that you do have your guys under contract. You have Fox and Sabonis under contract, and then Harrison Barnes, who I'm assuming would be a piece moved in that deal because of financial restraints for the Kings have. He'll be one more year into his 3-year deal, so that's an easier contract to move. So, yeah, there could be some pressure that mounts this year, and they do need to make a move. But, yeah, I could also see it happening in the offseason. I could see them making a big trade in the summer. But I think that is a good point because the Kings, they don't have pressure guys that are expiring, and they don't have to maximize. Like, there's a window to maximize, of course. I look at it like, as like a 3-5-year window. Like, you have the De'Aaron Fox, Amanda Sabonis, Mike Brown, Monty McNair, they're all on similar timelines. Sabonis obviously longer now after his extension, but it's not as much of a 9-1-1 as it would be maybe a year ago. If Sabonis hadn't signed that extension, which again, that's a whole different conversation as far as what you think about it or how people feel about it. But if he was an expiring contract right now and he was playing it, like if he was a Scott Boras, to go back to baseball, a Scott Boras client, and they're just kind of saying, yeah, we're waiting until we get to the summer. We're not doing extensions right now. Maybe that puts more pressure on the Kings to make a move because it's okay, what for they sure. lose right Sabonis point. For nothing. Yeah. Right now, they're in a position to just kind of say, hey, okay, here's what we have. This is a good core. They're a good team. Again, as crazy as things seem, sometimes when you look at social media, which maybe that's just, I shouldn't look at social media that much, but the Kings are in a good spot. They're actually in a better spot right now, 9-3-19 games than they were last year. So I think that it's a good point from Brendan that there really isn't a 9-1-1, but if they're looking to maximize this year, yeah, But we don't know how Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox are going to handle that so far.
Well, there are a couple ways to look at this, right? And not to continue to bring up baseball. But even as Giants fans, I mean, the NL West is a complete mess right now. You have the Dodgers who aren't going anywhere. The Diamondbacks who just went to the World Series. So the question is now, do we – and then the Padres who are – supposed to be good, so do we wait it out and let these guys have their time in the sun, or do we be a part of that action? I think you can look at this the same way in the Western Conference and say, okay, the Western Conference is a mess right now, so is there a rush? But at the same time, you have the Suns who can't seem to get fully healthy. You have the Nuggets who can't seem to get fully healthy with Jamal Murray. The Lakers are a mess. You don't want to wait for the Lakers to maybe make a big move. The Warriors, they're AARP. We think they're okay for now. They're not doing anything this season. So maybe you strike now and you have the Mavericks and the Thunder are only going to get better. The Grizzlies are going to get Ja back next season. So I get it. There's always going to be competition. But I do think that if you do look around, it's a mess in the West, but there are also a couple opportunities. I am not of the mindset the Nuggets are going to go on a Warriors type run at all. Right. And I'm a little bit lower on the Nuggets than some are. I think that they lost some pieces. So they have a decision to make. It's very similar to, you know, that guy that you try to talk to that's always busy. And every time you try to talk to him, they say, hey, we'll do it later. You know, I'm busy right now. I'm busy right now. At some point, you just got to say, no, I want to talk tomorrow. Because you're always going to be busy, right? And the West is always going to be competitive, so you got to make a decision. Got to get to a break is what we got to do right now, as Nate tells me. And we got to get back to our Kings Roundtable in a bit of a break with Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports Kings insider. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. But it's not just Stiles and Watkins. We are joined by our Sactown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli. And they, you know, we need help here. Call in. We'll see if Steven gets you in a second. Trying to raise the guys is how they feel right now.
Spirits, because
they'd be in Vegas right now. You'd be in Vegas right now.
We're torn.
If it wasn't for Grand Theft Alvarado, you'd be in Vegas. I truly believe that. All the length in the world.
From a serious standpoint, he really did change the tone of that game.
It's weird how like a 6-foot defender can really make an impact like that.
No comment.
As soon as he got away with the corner sneak and steal thing where he hides in the corner, and I knew the game was
over. I love that the crowd started to like get louder to try to let him know. Yeah. Kieran was probably so confused.
Yeah.
And then you find out real quick.
It hurts that it happened to the Kings. So I've watched like the highlight reel. I think Rob Perez puts it together, and I'm like always laughing at. Like, God, I think I really fall for that, and then it just happens to the Kings.
He hid right in front of De'Aaron's wife.
Yeah,
and I guarantee she was screaming at De'Aaron.
For sure. You know what I'm thinking? Do you think? And we would have to get the breakdown. Do you think it happens more on the road because the other team is louder? The crowd is louder. I don't know, because if it's at home. Maybe the other team has the ball, right? So maybe if it's at home, you could hear from your bench. But De'Aaron couldn't hear anything, I'm sure. And it was right next to his bench.
I definitely heard people screaming like it
from their bench?
Not from their bench, no, but I just think that at home, I think maybe the noise kind of blends in more. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tough question. I haven't watched enough Pelicans games to know how often he does it or how often he tries it and it doesn't work, I think, is the better question. How often does it not work for him?
Right. The issue is that everybody knows this is a thing. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of just a mental lapse that like, make sure when you're looking down the court that you see five defenders is all.
You got to have someone, you got to be reminded.
It's a funny play. It's creative.
Is it Bush League?
No. Yes. No. It's fine.
Is it Bush League?
Yes. I mean, that's like super
when stressful. He's like really crouching down in the corners when it's kind of crazy. This one, he just kind of stood there and bent over a little bit. Like
he was kind of like, you could tell he was
hiding a little bit
on the prowl for sure.
I don't think it's Bush League.
No, I like a. It's not. I think it is. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying he should like get an elbow for it, yeah. but I think like it's something that it's like, all right.
I would
like,
definitely.
It's a little bit of, again, it's like your little brother would do that if you're, you know, if you're playing against them to try. Like, that's something you do when you're trying to get the edge because, you know, you can't beat somebody straight up, which is fine.
That's,
but again, that's what makes Jose Alvarado Jose
but to
Alvarado.
Me, right? But to me, it is no more Bush League than flopping.
Sure, but flopping also sucks. Like, I mean, just because it happens doesn't mean it should be okay.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think it's like a matter of it, if it's your team, it's great. It's fun. Right. Oh, I love watching that. And then if
what
it's
an again, idiot those guys are.
Yeah, not your team, it's really annoying. And it is really annoying.
Well,
really
now
annoying.
To take it back to pickup, right? You just started a game, so you don't know. You're not playing with your buddies. It's a random four other guys. You just get in the game and somebody yells, blah, 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 and you pass it to them and it's on the other team. That was always a long-standing.
Very
that
similar
was always
vibe.
A long-standing conversation, whether that's Bush League or not. And they'll say, hey, well, no, who's on your team?
Yeah.
And you're not playing shirts and skins or whatever. You don't know who is who. And they're like, blah, 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 and you pass it to them and your team is mad at you. But it happens so quick, nobody's saying don't pass
that's
it.
Cheap. Yeah. That's really cheap.
Bush League. I do that.
Yeah,
I do that.
You do that.
With people you just met.
I am judging
no,
you.
Well, I don't know.
You're an instigator.
I am for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And if it happened to me, I'd be super bad about it. Yeah.
It's
not
so
like,
trash.
In like you're wrong for that. I'd just be annoyed with myself for falling for it.
You guys are trying to start fights with strangers playing pickup.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying
to
win.
Just don't believe in your own abilities. That's what that tells me. You gotta try.
It's a mental game. It's a mental game.
Wow. Yeah.
Definitely gets me more upset. It definitely makes me want to beat you more. That's for sure.
Well, you just gotta take that extra second. If it happens, it's kind of honestly happens once.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Happens twice.
Absolutely.
Shame on me. If you get it again. And then it's like, okay, you do have to pay attention here. The first one, cool, because probably early. It's only 2-0.
Right.
You can still come back.
Right.
But if it happens and it's game point, that's on you, brother. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Steven, you got a question for the guys. It's King's Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brandon Nunes. What you got for us?
Good morning, boys.
Morning.
My favorite episode of the week.
Hey, there
all
you
right,
go.
All right.
Man, gotta love the King's Roundtable. Okay, this could potentially be a dumb question, but you know what? I'm gonna ask it anyway. All right, I asked the boys over at on the Drive Guys yesterday, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' take on it. So, free ball isn't hitting. Why don't they start driving the basket and hitting twos instead? I understand that three is more than two, and I understand that like shooters are gonna shoot, and they could possibly shoot themselves out of a slump once they see that first one go in. But if the three is just not hitting, why do we not see the guys just switch it up a little bit, start driving the basket? Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Steven.
Who wants to handle that one?
I mean, I think that they go hand in hand is kind of what it comes down to, right? Is that like the shooting has to be there in order to enable the driving. And like you look at those three guys that we're talking about, that's not De'Aaron and Domas, Kevin, Harrison, and Keegan. These are shooters. Like, not that they can't cut and play off of their gravity and just in that free flowing offense, but they're shooters. And like, I kind of think it's on De'Aaron and Domas and Malik, really, the three to get into the paint and make plays from there. And if you see an opportunity, then go for it. But I mean, they shot 38 shots in the paint last night in that game against the Pelicans. They just only made 19 of them, you know, so the rate wasn't going down great. I think De'Aaron does a great job at it. Again, Domas and Malik, those are the three that I think like you trust off the dribble. All the others are like backdoor cuts, you know. So I think the three is just such naturally a part of their offense because they're so good at it and they have shooters.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of switching things up, like we talked about earlier, switching things up when they aren't working, because the Kings are a top 5 3-point shooting team in the league as far as makes go, but they're 20th in 3-point percentage. When the shots aren't falling, you kind of got to switch things up and attack more, because I was wondering where they are in points in the paint. They're 19th in points in the paint this year, which I feel like that's a little low when you have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis on your team. And I think maybe being more aggressive on that end. And of course, Keegan Murray has not been healthy and he's been struggling. And Harrison Barnes, who I think is very good when he's downhill and going towards the paint, isn't doing that because he's now a fifth option. So I think that's a good point. I think I would like to see the Kings be a little more aggressive and getting in the paint, because like Brendan pointed out, it's kind of De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk right now, and Sabonis when he's on. But the Kings as a team really rely on the three-point shot more than anything.
Yeah, that's super interesting, because it's definitely – I mean, I know we all played some sort of like elementary or fundamental basketball.
You've seen the Max Preps.
And
you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen Frankie's Max Preps, yo. It's crazy. But we all know, like, you're taught growing up, like, if your shot's not falling as a team, get to the rim. You can't keep shooting. You're not going to shoot yourself out of it. And I wonder if that's one of those things that I think everybody kind of fundamentally has instilled in them. And by the time you get to the NBA, is that still a fact? Like, is, you know, getting to the rim is a tough task to do. Yeah. Like, not everyone's able to do it. For some guys, kind of to Brennan's point, like, it's might be better for Kevin Huerter to try and work through his slump shooting threes than trying to get to the rim, just because he might not be able to do that. You know, like, he might just be such an elite shooter that that three-point shot might be better than a Kevin Huerter contested layup. Like, I would much rather have Keegan Murray take a leaning three than trying to really do anything in the paint.
And that's kind of how the Kings are built. They are two very good, you know, De'Aaron Fox is very good at penetrating the paint and scoring, which he does. Demonte Sabonis can bruise around and get in the paint and score. And then you have three shooters. You have Harrison Barnes, you have Kevin Huerter, and you have Keegan Murray. Two of those, Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray, were two of the top 6 3-point shooters in the NBA last year as far as, like, 3-point makes and percentage. So it's kind of how the Kings are built. But, yeah, Kevin Huerter has been doing a little more of driving, and I think he did some decent work in the paint the last couple of games. But I completely agree. I'd rather see those guys get going from three. And Keegan Murray, who struggled, I think the Kings really need him to knock down those shots as well. But I think it's the other guys, too. Like, Trey Lyles can knock down the three, we all know. But he's a guy that can also cause damage in the paint when he's playing. Harrison Barnes, again, fifth option. But maybe being a little more aggressive going down when the Kings are stagnant on offense and the threes aren't falling. I'd rather see Harrison Barnes drive than force a shot. So, yeah, it's just kind of how the Kings are built. But 19th in points in the paint is not ideal.
I do think the three-point percentage is just going to be a little lower this year, partially because De'Aaron is taking a lot more threes. And, like, I think they're going down at a good rate. I like that he's taking them. Sometimes they're a little too sweet for me, you know, but I think that's part of the process here in my mind. But 8.2, 35.7 a game, or 8.2, 35.7%. And then that's their leader in three-point attempts per game.
Yeah.
You know? And then right after that, you get to Keegan Murray right above 7. He's only knocking down 30%, which I feel like is not being talked about very much. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's fine because we all are confident that's going to come back, right? But that is definitely playing a part here, too.
Another side note with the three-point shooting, as my microphone falls away from me. Kings are 3-7 this year when they shoot under 35% from three. They shoot, obviously, 34 on Monday night. So, it's a lot of forcing, I think, when they aren't falling and trying to kind of help you get back on the right track. And when they don't, things go off the rails pretty quick.
Yeah, I found that number when I was doing the post-game live stream. They shot 35%, I think, on the nose in Houston. They lost that game. But every game they've shot above 35.1% from three, I believe they are 8 or 9-0 in those games. So it really does seem like, to kind of what we've been talking about for this whole time, it does really feel like it's as simple as Kings hit their shots, they're probably going to play well and look more like the team that we expect them to be. They don't hit their shots, they don't have a counter to go to. They're not driving the rim. They're not hitting
the defense.
They just
Mike
become
Brown would
pretty
say,
one-dimensional.
Then we should just be able to guard people so we can win games when we're not hitting shots.
And I would say that's helped them some quality games. Like, I don't think they win as many or have as many quality wins this year if they are playing the style that they were last year. Right?
Yeah,
like, I think you beat Denver. I don't think you beat the Minnesotas of the world if you don't play defense and you just try and do what the Pacers are doing this year or what the Kings did last year.
Yeah, and going back to what Frankie was saying when it comes to, warming up, you know, can Huerter shoot some twos or the counterpunch of what Steven said. Very similar to baseball as well. If you're slumping, you want to shorten up, hit the ball the other way, just like Aaron Judge does. But because of that small ballpark, the ball got to get to a break.
Okay.
We get back, we see you, Austin. We will get to you. And the question is, as presently constructed, can the Kings still get the first seed? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. in the heart, in the meat and potatoes of our Kings
in
Roundtable.
Like a GTA reference?
No. Hold on. Frankie Carticelli, Brandon Nunes, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. And, you know, I've kind of flipped Chris here to liking my Gus Johnson.
I actually love it. Gus Johnson.
Okay. Do the full thing.
Okay.
Please.
Cade McNamara in the swamp. He looks back. He's doing it himself. There it is. That's all I got.
Where does Cade McNamara play again?
Somewhere. I think he left Michigan. Yeah. But I just feel like.
The swamps of Michigan.
The swamps. It's always a swamp. It's always a swamp. Or you have, what else you have? Jaden McDaniels on the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves.
So you have Daniels in Death Valley. He drops back. That's all I got.
Wait, how far away is he from the mic when he's screaming? Because he's screaming.
I think they have a great audio engeer who
it just brings it down.
Yeah.
It sounds like King Amari going to the basket. A lot of
mic pop filters. Three of them just lined up.
He's speaking through a pillow. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. That too.
As we break down the Kings and whether or not we do a segment on this show, Chris is cracking up right now. We do a segment on this show called Beaming or Dreaming. You're beaming if you think that the Kings will be able to go further than they did last season. You are dreaming if you think that they can't. And real
light
quick.
Light the beam! Yeah. Light it!
Light that thing
so
up.
Good. So who's gonna, that? It's Draymond.
That's Draymond. On the pod that
light
we have.
The beam! Light it!
That we have not so heard. Good. Before I get my answers from you guys on whether you are beaming or dreaming, let's go to Austin, who's been hanging out during the break, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Austin? You got a question for the guys? What you got for us?
Quick question. Thank you so much. Wonderful show, as always. So, a question regarding the Fox's speed. You know how, like, in the NFL, you have Tyreek Hill's quick speed. My question, it might sound dumb, but why in the NBA is Fox's speed not pronounced when it comes to all the pundits on ESPN, NBA Live, whatever? You know, like, it sounds like a stupid question, but Beeman, by the way, yeah, definitely, Sacktown 916, we're going all the way. But why is De'Aaron Fox's speed not pronounced like it is in the NFL and other sports? Thank you, gentlemen.
It's a great question. Huh. We've talked about it on this show before, and I don't know if it would be the shuttle drill that they do or there's right. no – right, when you see the NBA Combine on NBA TV, you're thinking, this is cool, but there's no main, you know, 40-yard dash if you're talking football or the 60, if you're talking baseball. There's no measure, I think, to start that would say, hey, De'Aaron is X, right? But I do feel like it got talked about more with Russell Westbrook, to be fair.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I go to what you're saying, that, like, there's no top speed that we can even compare to. Like, football, when Tyreek's in the open field, ball in his hands, he's just sprinting and just all out.
They have 40s. Like, you can, like, clock their 40s.
De'Aaron has to maintain a dribble the whole time.
Right.
But where are the next-gen stats of fastest player? Why? I'm sure they're out there, but why aren't they promoted?
Yeah.
Maybe prevalent. It's just because basketball is more about high flyers and shooting threes. Nobody. It's just not the same as speed isn't as important as it is in a football. It is.
The way smaller
Way smaller
field,
court. It's not that it's not as important. Like, it's just not talked about as much.
I don't think we see Fox be able to get out. And I mean, he does at least once or twice a game, I think. But that's the point. It's like once or twice a game, he gets out and just completely goes coast to coast for, you know, a lay-in or a slam dunk, whatever you want to call it. But I think with Tyreek Hill and guys in the NFL, whether it be running backs, wide receivers, you know, they break away, I think, a lot more often than guys in the NBA do. Because as far as, you know, smaller playing surface, like we talked about, more defenders, more obstacles, More room to run the NFL. I'm not saying it's easier to break away from tackles and
but 100 run. Yards.
But you can
is
go wide. You can go wide.
Right.
That way. It's not happening in the NBA.
Sports science. You're moving as fast as a school bus on a Tuesday.
Breaking free in the NBA, I think, is a lot harder. Yeah. I think as far as just the small playing surface and the bodies that are taking up the playing surface, like, it's harder for Fox to get free and really put his speed on display. But when he does, it's a spectacle, and I think people really take notice of the fact that he is the fastest player in the NBA. Except Someone, I think it was Keith Smith, said that someone's faster than. Did he say it was Maxie that's faster than him now?
I think it was Maxie.
I don't know.
I would also say, I think De'Aaron very rarely goes top speed anymore.
Yeah. And he can't right now. I mean, he even says he's still being limited by his ankle right now. He said he was going to do a windmill dunk the other night against I think it was Denver.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just can't right now. He's being cautious. But I mean, we're not even seeing him at his peak right now.
That's what I keep saying, that the thing about the reason why I feel like it doesn't get talked about is because he doesn't really create highlights, as crazy as that is to say. Like, and I think we've talked about it before, but like his dunks, he doesn't dunk
like
a lot.
Nerdy highlights.
Well, like I just like yesterday, I saw a highlight, I believe on House of Highlights, of Giannis dunking. You know, only using one dribble.
That was absurd.
You don't see that. Like, you could use De'Aaron Fox in a similar highlight. It's just, it doesn't feel like, to I think Frankie's point, like, you very rarely, once or twice a game, do you really see that even used, and then he lays it in on the fast. But like, I think you could weaponize it or whatever you want to say. Like, it just doesn't really happen enough, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have it.
Well, I think he's changed his play style. He even tweeted, I think it was last summer, how Headband Fox went crazy, or head when he wore the bandana.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, if you watch like those highlight reels of the 2018-19 season, that was when he was breaking away full court and just completely windmilling on people. And that was also, I think, the same year he turned his ankle. The first ankle injury he suffered was that year. So I think we've seen him kind of evolve from being a high flyer or a, you know, highlight reel dunker into a guy who we've seen him. He's very good with the step back, and he gets the mid-range going. And he's still able to get into the paint and whatnot, but it's not quite with the explosiveness to that extent. It's still explosive, but not the, you know, I'm going to go and just completely dunk on two people. He has it in the bag.
He'll have like five a year. He had one this year.
Last year, the dunks.
On Okongwu, the one from the side with his left was ridiculous.
Yeah. Kelly Olynyk one just, was crazy. Yes.
Just the NBA in general, their premium is more about vertical leaps. And you'll say, he's got a 50-inch vertical leap just versus the speed factor. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Emmy, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Emmy? What you got for us and the guys?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you, first of all? What was this rumor going on that Sasha maybe did? Please don't do that. A lot of people like him, and he needs definitely more minutes.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
No, thank you for the call, Emmy. Yeah, we talked yesterday, Chris and I did, about I'd throw him into the starting lineup. We actually didn't get.
I thought you were going to say, I'd throw him into any trade.
No, I'm just throwing a little seasoning. And I know you said, Frankie, that people were being a little bit hard on Harrison Barnes, so I would love to get your take on it. But, I mean, I get the whole game. Is it, you can't see the whole game in the box score. But we're watching the games, right? It's not just that. And I just don't know how much you would truly lose depending on the team, right? I know Sasha could not handle a Zion or anything like that. I don't know how well Harrison did either. But I just don't know how much of a drop-off you'd actually see if you put Sasha Vezenkov in the starting lineup over Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, I think we're closing in on – I'm not closing in, but I think the discussion is now – I think we're able to have it that – would it be the worst thing in the world if they switched it up and put Trey Lyles or Sasha in the starting lineup and had, you know, HB come off the bench? Because I think a bench of Keon Ellis or Davion Mitchell with Malik Monk and Harrison Barnes off the bench, I feel like that's kind of enticing. And you kind of have that presence of veterans and people that know the offense, and maybe not as much of a drop-off as what we've seen before. But I think Sasha's played well in the minutes that he's been out there. I think that he's been actually a little surprising as far as there hasn't been as many shortcomings on the defensive end. He's not a versatile, athletic defender, but he's kind of crafty and just kind of knows how to be in the right spot at the right time, and has had a couple blocks that have been surprising too. And the shot looks good. Every time he shoots, I think it's going in. And I think that he definitely would be more comfortable.
He thinks it's going in too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's a madman in the best way possible. Yes. I love it. And they tell him, like, you better shoot it every single time. That's what you're out here for.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, got to get to a break. When we get back, TC, we see you. Hold on. Throughout the break, we'll get to you. We know you got a question for the guys. One more segment, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And I got to be honest here, you know, we love to pull the curtain back on this show. And this is actually an encore segment.
Bonus!
With the Kings Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brandon Nunes. They got to run off to practice.
Talking about practice.
Week, we had an extra segment, and we had said, oh, well, they're done, and they weren't really done,
yeah,
right, or something like that. And now I said, oh, they're not done, and they look at me as we're going to break saying, oh, we're not done? They're not done yet. They're not
job
done
ain't
yet.
Finished.
There you go. Job ain't finished, because everybody loves when we do the King's Roundtable, including our guy TC, 916-339-1140, who wants to be a part of the conversation. TC, what you got for us and the roundtable?
What's up, brother?
What's up? What you got for us, man?
Oh man, look, check it out. Hey, I got a trade proposal first though. So like first and foremost, I know fans, everybody gonna fan how they fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when we have the game and all that, as fans, hey, the light the beam chant gotta come back. It's been up and down with that situation. But also, when the team is on a run like the other night, I know it was a lot going on with that game, but leave the referees alone. You get what I'm saying? If we're on a run like that, the whole ref, you suck. I know everybody does it, but in my opinion, that we didn't get any calls after that.
Mm.
So, like, with the fans, like, when we're up and the fans are like, ref, F you suck,
Yeah.
It throws them off, and we don't get any calls for that. But I can't tell everybody how to fan, but just as a Sacramento Kings fan, listen, you guys think about that. Also, on a trade proposal for Lauri Markkanen, I know the Jazz liked it, Harrison Barnes, and they were after Harrison Barnes. What do you guys think about? Would you guys give up Harrison Barnes and two first-round picks for Lauri Markkanen? Me, personally, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Thanks for the call, TC. I will be honest before we get to the trade proposal, because, Brandon, I can see by your face that you have thoughts. Yeah. I will be honest here. The ref you suck chant does make me uncomfortable. It makes me slightly uncomfortable. I got to be honest with you.
Can you explain?
Because you're just saying, ref, you suck, and you're screaming at this guy.
Do better.
And I know I'm tinfoil hat, and TC is saying you didn't get calls after it. But if you were a ref, what would make you think, yeah, I do suck.
Now,
let me help out this home team.
I want a ref to hype up the crowd.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah,
just react.
Draymond on the crowd. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If Draymond doesn't get, I mean, it doesn't
Tony
hurt
Brothers.
When Draymond, you know, talks all that talk. Like, it shouldn't matter when the crowd talks either.
Well, I know.
It happens
but
every, if you watch League Pass, it happens in every other arena.
No, every
arena.
Stadium. Every stadium.
In every sport.
Every arena.
In every
right.
sport. Yeah. They're getting, I mean, it's the most unpopular job in sports is being an official umpire, ref, whatever.
And they get paid well. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I've looked it up. They do well.
But nobody.
They do well, but it makes me uncomfortable.
No one's going to come out there and say, wow, they had a good game tonight, though. So I get like the thought process behind
that.
That's
so true.
The thought process behind. Oh, the ref had a good game.
Great game by Tony Brothers.
Yeah, right. No one's going to come out there and say they had a great game. And that's unfortunate for them, but that's what they sign up for. But I mean, I don't really fully back the being concerned about refs starting to call the game differently because fans are being, you know, mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it wasn't an excuse because the Kings let that game get out of hand. Sure, there were a couple of weird calls. Like Brendan did have a tweet which got some backlash about how he thought the Fox call, when Fox got hit in the mouth and started bleeding, it was a foul on Fox.
It was.
By definition, yeah, you put two hands on someone's back, it's a foul. So it was. The fact that Fox is bleeding, though, it looks bad and it made people upset, and I get that completely. But the Kings let that game get
contact
out of hand
sport.
On their own. What was it, a 14-0 run to begin the second quarter from New Orleans, I think? Like, that had nothing to do with the officials, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I just had to say that. I guess I'm alone here. It just makes me uncomfortable. You're just kind of, you know, chastising someone. I don't know. I'm just there. I'm just like,
you should have been there for the Marvin Bagley game last year.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to feel like someone was singled out.
That was insane.
You want to feel an awkward environment.
I'm glad I was.
But he healed, too.
Yeah. But, Brendan, I saw your face when TC threw out that trade proposal. What are your thoughts?
So Chris and I looked at each other because yesterday on the way out the building, we're kind of talking for a sec, and I think I literally presented the exact same trade to him.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's enough. It's probably not enough. I think maybe I said three firsts or whatever it is, but you know, Lauri Markkanen is on a little bit of a different timeline than some of those other guys. I know they just got John Collins, even though he was practically free.
Right.
But Lauri Markkanen, 1 year left, and then next year he's a partially guaranteed. Like, Danny Ainge is a guy that loves his future draft picks. Are you willing to do your 20, I think you can go to 31 right now, say 2029 and 2030 swap or something? Like, I think that could even be a little too much, but like, I think there's it's an interesting conversation, right? Like, and I like that he brings it up because I feel like that name is never talked about. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be one of those type of guys. We, like, mentioned the name Jimmy Butler yesterday, for example. Like, again, these are long shots, but things change so fast in the NBA. I think these are the type of guys that you should try to be thinking about.
Can you also explain the, because I can hear people yelling at their radio, you're just going to trade Harrison Barnes? He doesn't even have any value. Harrison Barnes has some value out there. Now, it's not, of course, you know, it's not going to be able to get you a star, but, like, he's not a negative value.
No, it would be what OKC did with Al Horford. I forget who what the other side of that deal was, but, like, you bring in somebody and you kind of rehab their value a little bit and you sit and be patient and wait for a team like Milwaukee that you don't think Milwaukee would love to have Harrison Barnes instead of Malik Beasley as that fifth starter. Right. Like, HB has value, and I don't think that that number that he's at is like atrocious. Maybe it's a little high, but I think it's fine. And it's also really important to have a tradable salary on your team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we're talking about these deals,
but that's part of the reason
they
did the deal. And a lot of people said, well, why'd you bring Harrison back? It made sense to bring him back. Very similar. You know, teams do this all the time, and it wasn't necessarily their end game. You know, you know,
Warriors with D'Angelo Russell.
Warriors with D'Angelo Russell. Warriors with Jordan Poole.
Right.
Jordan Poole. I mean, they knew at the time he had more value, but they found somebody. Washington did it. So you bring up the Bucks. You know I'm huge on Bobby Portis.
I didn't even know that.
I'm a big Bobby Portis guy.
Crazy eyes.
I think Bobby Portis, Bobby Portis and Trey Lyles, that's the dog that you really need. So give me Harrison Barnes. You said Milwaukee. Because I think Jazz makes it.
Well. You know, I'm talking in place of Malik Beasley. I think Bobby Portis might be better than, I don't know. I don't know if they'd swap HB for Portis. I don't know.
You're not high on Portis.
No, I don't mind Portis. I'm saying the Kings probably would. I don't know if Milwaukee
Milwaukee, that's their guy off the bench.
Throw Davion in there.
His value is very
low. That's the questionable one for sure.
They'll throw him in a trade, but not in a game.
Come on now.
No, I think that the HB thing's interesting.
He'll get
because
back in. That was just a bad joke.
Again, Harrison Barnes on the Kings might not be Harrison Barnes on another team because he might not be the fifth option on whatever team trades for him because he is still, I mean, he's 31 years old, and he's a guy that if we saw it when Keegan Murray was out, Harrison Barnes' numbers were great. Not great, but for him, like 16 points per game. I think he was like on 40% shooting from three. His volume went increased. Like when he has more opportunities, he performs better. So if you put him on an opportunity like Utah and that happens, maybe the Jazz get a guy that can kind of have as a veteran presence where they kind of have a youth movement. But I think Markkanen's a guy that is intriguing to keep an eye on because Utah, they're not having a very good start to the year. I just wonder how much it would cost because I think Markkanen's controllable. I think he has another year on his contract.
He has one more and it's a non-guaranteed, but I'm sure
you... Ooh, well, that might change things. I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe...
partially guaranteed.
A Davion, HB, and first round picks, maybe that gets it done. I mean, that's a move where it's not really going for a versatile defender, but a guy who's offensively talented and can maybe...
Size.
Yeah,
makes
size.
Bigger, and, yeah.
Yeah, he's not like a OG Anunoby. Those are two different completely players, but, I mean, it's a very good... It's an all-star caliber forward that I think would fit in well with this offense.
It also could potentially alleviate your backup center problem also, where you could just stagger those two, and you could probably run Laurie at the backup center when Domas isn't out there.
Yeah, what do you mean problem? Have you watched JaVale McGee?
Hey, man.
JaVale
is
this good
your last segment?
JaVale is good.
Y'all got to go.
A couple minutes left here. Guys, let's say nobody does anything. Let's say the Kings just stamp pat, kind of full circle how we started this conversation. They don't have to do anything right now. I felt like a genius at some points during this season, and right now I don't, which is funny that the Kings just beat the defending champs, and that's how much I think the in-season tournament actually mattered because we came in here and did a show yesterday and it was sad. It was sad. And you were in the locker room and you were in the post game presser. It was sad, right? I think it matters. And not to be too much prisoner of the moment here, but if they don't make a move, do you think it is possible for the Kings? And this goes back to beaming or dreaming, whether you're essentially beaming or dreaming or not. Do you think the Kings can get the first seed as presently constructed? One seed.
The number one overall seed in the Western Conference.
I'm going to say unlikely. That doesn't mean the Kings are a bad team or they're not going to finish high in the Western Conference. I mean, right now, among the noise, which is loud, again, as we talked about, after losses, they are still they're fifth in the West right now. Fifth in the West right now. So that's, not horrible, compared to what
for a team that
nobody's
team
that gone on a run
say,
yet.
They have
nobody's
not played
gone on
their best
run.
Basketball.
Yeah,
you lost here in Fox 5 games. You lost Keegan Murray, who's still battling injuries. You have to hope that's not serious. We're going to see if he's practicing today and if he came out of the other game on Monday's game all right. But we have not seen them firing in all cylinders yet. We really haven't seen them. We've seen what it looks like when they are in pieces, but they put together a good winning streak. And outside of that, they've lost to a lot of the same similar faces like the Warriors and the Pelicans. Let's see them play, you know, the rest of the field, which they need to still kind of do, and go from there. But I do think when you look at the Denvers, I think they're going to figure it out. Minnesota seems like they're not going to slow down. I mean, they're playing really good basketball, and the NBA schedule makers gave them two easy games this week with them not making the in-season tournament. I can't remember who they're playing. I think they might be playing Utah and another easy team they're playing. Oh, the Spurs tonight. So they're going to play San Antonio.
The Warriors at the Blazers.
Where's the Blazers? So
on 3 days of rest.
Kings shouldn't have made the knockout round.
So what you're saying is they're incentivizing not making the in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. So maybe that changes things.
Brendan?
It's a long shot probably, but like I guess it's somewhat within reach. Mm-hmm. Like I think they lived off their offense last year, and I think there's been defensive progress. I think another part of the offense is like you're just not surprising anybody anymore. Everybody has a full scouting report. You know, you need to bring out those counters and they're being developed, but like it's hard to, they'd have to go on a big run at some point. And to me, it's like, I guess we'd probably be talking about like post trade deadline and you added somebody and it clicked right away. Like it's a long shot for me.
There you go. All right. Well, you're saying there's a chance.
Kings have only lost to four teams this year.
It's true.
Even still.
When are we going to, that's like when we were naming, that's like when we were numbering the shows. When are we going to stop doing that? What's the number?
It stops being true.
Was he going to get a five?
No, I think five's too many. No. I think five's, you know, then you're just saying things.
Five's the line.
Five is definitely the line. Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks, guys.
Four.
Sactown Sports Kings Insider. Speaking of four, that was our Kings Roundtable. We do it every Wednesday. Thank you to Brendan Nunes. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli. Got to run to the Kings practice. The hardest two working men at the station. When we get back, we will continue to have the conversation. We see you on the call, Edward, in terms of beaming or dreaming. We will get to you right after the break. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.